Smriti
Atma Dharma Nirmati
Nishti Steja Smriti Satyam
Nishti Steja Smriti Satyam
Yasya Nasyanti Janmana
Yasya Nasyanti Janmana.
In the translation, excuse me. Oh my Lord, because of lusty desires, from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Hidrogam. Materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take the devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anya bilashita shunyam. Anya bilashita means material desire, and shunyam means free from. The spiritual soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Manma janmani jamani shvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki tvayi. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Anya Bilashita Sunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then, all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on, for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena niyamalam vishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchite. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is free from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Om Agyanatimarandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chaksha Unmiritam Yunatas Maishi Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Vangam Langayate Garin Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurandina Tamina. Translation again. O my Lord, because of lusty desires, from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. So Prahlad Maharaj, in this prayer, is describing the actual root cause of the living entity's deviation from his ability to fully engage himself in the service of the Lord. It is described here that it is due to these lusty desires. As soon as one has these material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. And then, having lost his spiritual identity, then no matter what his ambitions in life are, whether they be centered around the senses, his body, some religious activity, intelligence, he's going to have to be deviated from his original Krishna consciousness simply because of the presence of these lusty desires within his heart. Just as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that it is lust only, kama esha kore esha rajaguna sambuddhava. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. It is this lust which is all-consuming, burns like fire. And when a living entity, as long as these lusty desires are there within his heart, then, as explained here, he has to take birth after birth after birth in the material world in order to fulfill these desires. So, therefore, the whole process of devotional service is described here is how to restore that original desire of the living entity. Because, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, that this desire is the constant companion of the living entity. And therefore, this desire that is there within the heart cannot be completely nullified or destroyed, but the desire actually has to be reverted back or transformed to one's actual original constitutional desire. Every living entity, Jivaya Sudupoya Krishna Nichidas, is the eternal servant of Krishna. But when he begets this propensity to render service to the Lord, then he becomes subservient to his senses and becomes subservient to these lusty desires. So, Srila Prabhupada explains here that the only remedy is to take to devotional service, and which begins when one is free from all material desires. So therefore one may question, and how is it possible to begin devotional service if devotional service doesn't begin until one is free from material desires? It seems to be a continuous loop that unless one cannot come to devotional service until he actually becomes free from material desires, but at the same time one cannot become free from material desires unless he engages in devotional service. So where does it all begin? How does it all start? What's the actual turning point? So of course, when Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that devotional service begins when one is free from all material desires, he's describing this anyavilashita shunya. He's speaking about the devotional service which is completely on the spiritual platform. Devotional service means free from jnana and karma, free from all other forms of materialistic desires. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the devotee, Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Atayiva Shanta, Bhakti Mukti Siddhikami Sakailaya Shanta, that the devotee of Lord Krishna is peaceful because he's desireless, whereas Bhakti or Mukti or Siddhi, these are still lusty desires. And as long as one has lusty desires within the heart, Sakailaya Shanta, therefore he can never be peaceful. So that even the desire for liberation, the desire for worldly opulence, the desire for mystic yogic perfections, these are all described as kami and lusty desires. And therefore, as long as these lusty desires are within the heart, it is not possible that one can actually achieve peace. Only a devotee of the Lord can achieve full peace. That means that the devotee who is actually situated on the platform of unalloyed devotional service, he achieves real peace. Because on that platform, the devotee has all his desires fulfilled directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas as long as one has lusty desires within the heart, although of course Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial, Krishna is fulfilling the desires of the living entity to enjoy this material world, but Krishna fulfills the desires of the living entity by entrusting the living entity to the illusory energy. When a living entity comes under the influence of Maya, That means that through the arrangement of the external energy, through Maya, and the Maya provides all the different facilities for the living entity to forget Krishna. It is not Krishna himself who is directly involved in the affairs of the living entity's attempt to forget his actual eternal identity. But the living entity is understood to be entrusted to this illusory energy. And therefore, the ability to forget Krishna, of course, that is coming from Krishna. But as soon as one turns away from Krishna, just as Prabhupada gives the example, that when one is facing the sun, everything is bright. But when one turns his face away from the sun, then he sees his shadow, he sees darkness. When a living entity is always facing Krishna, then Krishna actually helps that living entity to come to him and gradually reveals himself to that devotee. But when the living entity turns away from Krishna, he sees darkness, he sees the external energy. And therefore, the living entity, he comes under the influence of the external energy and becomes bound by the three modes of material nature. Bound by the three modes of material nature means that that because he is desiring to forget Krishna, then material nature is providing all these different opportunities for the living entity to actually enjoy separate from him. So, the only way, just as it is described in, also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the conditioned soul, he actually hears the scriptural injunctions which are delivered by saintly personalities and voluntarily accepts such scriptural injunctions, then the material energy, the illusory energy of the Lord, gives up that living entity. He releases him. In other words, when a living entity becomes desirous once again to approach the Supreme Lord, then that is how the only way that one can actually become released from the clutches of the illusory energy of the Lord, because the Supreme Personality of God Himself, who is the director of the affairs of the material energy, He orders the release of the conditioned soul. So, therefore, this beginning of the desire, although devotional service is described here, is not actually achieved, or pure devotional service is not actually achieved until one is completely free from all material desire. Nonetheless, one can begin devotional service, meaning even though it may be still have desires, akama sava kama va moksha kama udara di tivena bhakti yogina yajita purusha param, that one who has a broader intelligence, whether he is filled with material desires, whether he is desiring liberation, or whether he has no material desires, he must by all means worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just as Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, where he describes how the four different types of persons will approach the Lord. Those who are in distress, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. They approach the Lord and they have some desire to fulfill. The distress, he's looking for some relief from his distress. Those who are inquisitive, they're looking to satisfy their inquiries. Those who are in need of money, they're looking to actually have some remuneration. They're looking for for some monetary remuneration, for some opulence, or for some wealth. So, they still have some desire. But he explains in the purport that actually, nonetheless, even though a person may approach the Lord for some material type of remuneration, if he actually comes in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, then his devotional service can begin. In other words, devotional service begins when one actually comes in contact with pure devotional service. This is the way that actually the living entity can actually begin his devotional service, even though pure devotional service has not yet been awakened within his own heart. Just as it is Lord Chaitanya describes in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmate Hona Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadhi Bhai Bhati Lata Beech. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the living entity is wandering throughout the universe, but when this Bhakti Lata Beech, or the seed of devotional service, is planted within the heart, Prabhupada explains that this is the actual beginning of devotional service. This is how devotional service can begin. It begins by actually receiving this seed of devotional service, this Bhakti Lata Bij. That even though when the seed is planted within the heart, it is not that that the heart is immediately completely purified from all these lusty desires. Desire may still be there within the heart. Just as we see that when one takes a devotional service, that sometimes these desires which are lying dormant within the heart, that they're not completely burnt up, they have made some further point, they may manifest themselves again. Oftentimes, when devotees come to Krishna consciousness, and they actually experience great relief from the distresses in the material world and feel great enthusiasm, inspiration for devotional service, it almost appears that by that initial contact with devotional service, that they actually think themselves to be completely on a liberated platform, a platform of pure devotional service. But by the engaging in the process of devotional service, then after some time it is seen that actually these desires are not as completely dissipated as one initially thought when he first took to the process of devotional service. Where did they come from? And sometimes the devotee asks the questions, where did they come from? How did they come back again? Sometimes even devotees, they think that how is it that when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, all these desires are coming into my heart? And they begin to equate that, why is it that the chanting of Hare Krishna is bringing these desires back into my heart? It's supposed to be the chanting of Hare Krishna supposed to be removing these desires. But actually, what is beginning to happen is just that one begins to perceive that actually the desires were never completely gone. It is that by the process of purification of devotional service, and one begins to perceive that actually that these desires are very deep rooted. They go very, very deep within the heart. And therefore, they gradually become to surface. When they become to surface again, one begins to see that, oh yes, now that I see that these desires are still there within the heart. Not that they were ever gone, but they were simply lying dormant, waiting to come to the surface. So now, what does one do? And just as Prabhupada explains here in this purport, that the living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery. So, Prabhupada is explaining that the living entity is always existing with desires. So, when these desires become manifest, therefore, they must become purified so that one can actually desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious. In other words, this is the real test of the advancement in devotional service, is that when these desires actually come to the surface, how much is one able to actually continue to engage in the process dependent upon the Lord for further progress in Krishna consciousness? If one is weak spiritually, if his determination is not strong, just as Krishna explains, Bhogai Shaya Prasaktanam Taya Prahichatetasam in the minds of those who are too much attached to sense gratification and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, then it's very difficult to be resolute in their determination for devotional service. For those who are too materially attached, then it is very, very difficult for them to continue and to actually give up these attachments to the materialistic ways of life. Therefore, a devotee, of course, is one who begins the process of devotional service. The devotee realizes that he must seek the help, he must seek the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. When a devotee actually seeks the mercy of the devotees of the Lord and the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by their mercy, then one actually can begin to cross the obstacles of conditional life, to overcome these attachments to lusty desires. So, these material desires that are becoming manifest, they must be purified. And the process of purification of these desires means that not that we can take them away ourselves, but we have to engage these desires in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what Srila Prabhupada constantly speaks about, dovetailing for the service of the Lord. When he speaks of dovetailing for the service of the Lord, he means that one actually has to engage his senses, has to engage his mind, he has to engage all of his desires, and he has to have them properly directed in a way, in such a way that they are aimed for the satisfaction of Krishna. And therefore, this is the only way that these desires can be actually burnt up and completely destroyed from within the heart, is by his determination to remain engaged continuously in this process of devotional service. Then gradually, one will actually experience that how these lusty desires within the heart can become burnt up and destroyed. That is the power of devotional service. But if one does not actually, if one is not careful, and he once again becomes a victim of his lusty desires, then we see that the living entity can once again fall under the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. That is what it means to be tatashta shakti. Tatashta shakti means that the living entity always has the potency that he can come either under the influence of the internal energy, or he can come under the influence of the external energy. That potential is always there within the living entity. So, therefore, one has to be always careful in the process of devotional service to take shelter. And therefore, Prabhupada explains in the last part of this purport, he quotes the verse, Savapati Vinaya Muktam, Tatparat Vina Niyamalam, Rishikena Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. That bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is that he is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. In other words, one has to keep his senses continuously engaged, his mind, his senses, his words. Any devotee who surrenders his mind, his words, and his senses for the service of the Lord, just as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that even if one is born in the family of dog eaters, but if he is a devotee of the Lord and surrenders his mind and his senses and his words for the service of the Lord, he is considered to be far more advanced position and a higher position than even one who is on the platform of being a Brahmin and has all the 12 qualities of a Brahmin. Because the Brahmin who is artificially puffed up because of his prestigious position, because he has not actually given himself to the process of devotional service, he has not surrendered himself, then he cannot even purify himself, what to speak of others. Whereas a devotee, because of his actually taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, he can purify so many generations past and the future. Devotional service, this is the process by which one can actually become free from designations. He becomes free from even the external designation of thinking oneself to be a Brahmin. These are also external designations. This is one of the symptoms of bhakti, as described in this verse, Savapati Vinaya Muktam, that whatever external designation one may actually identify himself with, whether he is Brahmin, whether he is sannyasi, sudra, whatever these designations may be, these are all designations of the material body. But actually, devotional service establishes one on the platform of one's eternal designation, Jivaya Surupoya Krishna Nichidas, that one is eternally a servant of Krishna. So he becomes free from these external designations, and the other byproduct, or the other side effect, of by engaging himself in the service of the Lord, is that one's senses become purified. Only with purified senses can one actually perceive Krishna and understand Krishna. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Seham Mukehi Jivado Svayam Eva Spurakhidha. If one actually wants to understand Krishna, he can only be understood by purified senses, engaged in devotional service of the Lord. With purified senses, then one can actually perceive the presence of the Lord. One can actually constantly perceive the desires of the Lord and be always engaged in unalloyed devotional service of the Lord with completely purified senses. So therefore, in the beginning stage of devotional service, therefore, in order to begin devotional service, he must actually come in contact with devotional service by becoming in contact with the devotee of the Lord, who is 100% engaged in devotional service. This is how one's devotional life can begin. And then we can understand how it is, how Srila Prabhupada refers here, that the only remedy is to take the devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anivilashita Shunyam means that devotional service which is pure, unalloyed devotional service, freed from the desires for karma, freed from the desires of jnana and mystic yoga. This is when one comes in contact with devotional service, Then that is how devotional service begins. And then gradually, just as Srila Prabhupada gives the example, that for one who takes a devotional service, it is like the example of the unripe mango, that the unripe mango in due course of time, it will become ripe. So in the same way, even though we may not actually be on the platform of pure unalloyed devotional service, but if we always keep ourselves in the association of Krishna, in the association of pure devotees of the Lord, then by that association, then one gradually will come to the platform of pure devotional service. Without contact with the Lord, one's heart cannot become purified. Therefore, devotee, he always maintains his connection with the Supreme Lord by continuous chanting of the holy names of the Lord and by continuous hearing the transcendental narrations and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the association of pure devotees. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhado bhavanti sitkana visayana kata tach joshana ashupavarga vatmani shadharitya bhakti anukram in shiti. And this is also described by Lord Kapila Dev, the same particular point, that in the association of pure devotees of the Lord, in discussions of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead become very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. As one gradually advances on this path of knowledge, gradually he becomes fixed, and his attraction becomes fixed, and he becomes freed from all the contamination of material life. Then real devotion and devotional service begins. So, therefore, one has to keep himself always in the association of devotees of the Lord, who are always spreading the glories of the Lord, always glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are themselves always engaged in rendering service of the Lord. This is how a devotee actually comes to the platform of pure devotional service. Even though he may not be on the platform of pure devotional service, but nonetheless he begins devotional service by such contact, and he advances on the path of devotional service by maintaining that contact always with the Lord through the association of the devotees of the Lord. Asat Sangha Tyaga, just as Lord Chaitanya describes, Asat Sangha Tyaga, Evaishnava Acha, that devotee abandons the association of Asat, and he maintains the association of the Lord by keeping himself always in the association of the devotees of the Lord. Then gradually he advances on this path of knowledge, his attraction becomes fixed, he becomes free from contamination, and then he comes to this platform of pure unalloyed devotional service. So this is the only way that one is, Srila Prabhupada explains here, to become free from these lusty desires which are causing the living entity to have to accept repeated birth and death in the material world. The only way to become free from lusty desires is, as Prahlad Maharaj says, that only way to become free from material contamination is to associate with devotees of the Lord who are themselves free from material contamination. Therefore, devotees who always hanker for the association of Vaishnavas and hear from them and render service to them, then gradually all these lusty desires can become purified, even though we are still filled with lusty desires. We must always keep in the association of the Lord. Just as Prabhupada also gives the example of the iron rod, which is always kept in the association of the fire, develops all the qualities of fire. In the same way, we must always keep ourselves in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as I was recently reading in Chaitanya Bhagavata, it is described that how the Supreme Lord manifests himself in different forms. He manifests himself in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he manifests himself in the form of Tulsi Devi, he manifests himself in the form of the pure devotees of the Lord. So, one, I can't remember what is the fourth. You remember that quote? Somehow slipped my mind. But, therefore, or the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, if one always keeps himself in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Lord Chaitanya is described in the Shikshastika prayers, that, O my Lord, your holy name can render all benedictions to living beings. him hundreds of millions of names like Krishna Govinda, and these names you have invested all your transcendental energies and the hard and fast rules for chanting these names. The Lord has made himself accessible by these holy names. So one who always keeps himself in the association of the Lord by continuous chanting of the holy names of the Lord, he always keeps himself in the association of the Lord by association of the pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord, or by worshipping the pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord, or by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of the devotees of the Lord. By these different ways, actually, one can be just like the iron rod in the fire. As long as he stays in the association of fire, then gradually by that association, the iron develops all the qualities of the fire. In the same way, even though our hearts may be filled with lusty desires, if we keep ourselves in the association of Krishna through these different ways, then gradually these lusty desires within the heart become burnt up in the fire of devotional service. And as Srila Prabhupada explains here, there is no other way to be actually become free, to become purified from these lusty desires, than devotional service. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to devotional service of the Lord. So, any questions or comments? I'm still trying to get used to speaking continuously. Got excited, so I mean, nonetheless, man, this is my culture shock. The longer I stay away from the West, thinking I have to spend more time in the West. Yes. We had a nice festival last week. Two weeks ago. In Moscow. Yeah. It's Prabhupada's 25th anniversary of Prabhupada's 25th anniversary of Prabhupada's visit to Moscow. Prabhupada went there in 1971. And that is when he had the meeting with Professor Kotovsky. And many devotees came to take part in this festival. It was very wonderful, auspicious. Lokanath Maharaj came, and Mukunda Maharaj came, Paladananda Maharaj came, Jayapataka Maharaj came, Dhanavir Prabhu, Bhakti Bhai Bhava Maharaj was there, Rohini Sutta Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj? Yeah, Mukunda Maharaj. Oh, and Shyama Sundar Prabhu was there. Shyama Sundar was Prabhupada's secretary when Prabhupada went to Moscow. It was Shyama Sundar that had accompanied him. Shyama Sundar and Aravinda, I think they were the two devotees that were Prabhupada then. And Shyama Sundar, it's not like he's been in the devotee association for quite some time, although I think he's attended some of these different reunions in different places. I know he was in the reunion in England, I think. He attended another reunion. And he was asked to come and take part in this. And when he first got here, he was a little overwhelmed because we were having seminars before the actual festival. And there were about 1,200 devotees at the seminars in Moscow. And actually, on the day of the festival, there were over 2,000 devotees in the auditorium, and Shyama Sundar was just completely overwhelmed, and he gave the most wonderful talk. I know it was recorded somehow. I have to give a copy of it. And he was so moved. I mean, he was literally just like in tears just thinking back of how that visit to Moscow in 1971, Srila Prabhupada, he's the one that, you know, took those pictures, and he was telling the story how he, when he left India, you know, he was all he had was a camera and one roll of film, 12 exposures of black and white film, If it was a real cheap camera, it had 12 exposures, he was thinking he would get more film in Russia. But when he got to Russia, there was no such thing as film. He couldn't find any film anywhere. He looked all over, and all he had was these 12 exposures, and he was always so afraid that these pictures wouldn't come out. And these famous pictures of Prabhupada walking, you know, with St. Peter's Cathedral in the background, walking up into Red Square. He was telling the story of how he'd taken the pictures, and told the story of how he had went out to buy some vegetables, and how he met Ananta Shanti, and actually Ananta Shanti came and took part of the festival. Well, he participated, he attended, he didn't actually speak. He told the whole story and gave some of the fragments of Prabhupada's discussion with Ananta Shanti, and then related how Ananta Shanti then of course took those instructions, and then he himself went out and began preaching Krishna consciousness on the strength of his one meeting with Srila Prabhupada. And then it was a very, very nice event. As I said, it was very well participated by many devotees, but it also was television was there, newspapers were there. We had a lot of media coverage. A lot of influential people came and spoke. The wife of the Indian ambassador to Russia, she came, and she was so overwhelmed by the event that a couple of days later, she said she was going to Ratiyatra in St. Petersburg. She just dropped all her plans and went to Ratiyatra. There was also one person from a journalist from the top religion journalist in all of Russia. He came and spoke about the movement, spoke about Srila Prabhupada, and was also quite an impressive presentation. So all in all, it was a very, very successful festival. And I didn't get this, my flight left actually the morning afterwards, so I didn't get to see the festival. Went on for another couple of days, but I didn't get to see what went on subsequent to that one day of the festival. So that was one event that I could think of. It just took place a couple of weeks ago. And there were a lot of other things. A few weeks ago I had a meeting with the mayor of Odessa. It was quite an impressive meeting. Actually, the mayor received me with kiss from the people of Odessa, and the television crews were there, and the whole meeting was televised. It was on television that evening, that night. And during the course of our meeting, I actually had gone there to meet with the mayor. My purpose is I requested for a meeting with him because I wanted to express gratitude to him, because at the end of last year, the mayor had donated some property in the city for us to build a temple. And it was prime property. It was right in the center of this big park. And they only allow something cultural to be built in that place. But the mayor actually decided to give that a big plot of land to us, right in the center of the park, right in the center of the city. It's valued at $140,000, and he just donated it to us. So I went there to thank him. We turned it into a 1 hour long meeting, and he wanted to hear things about our society. And then at the end of the meeting, he asked me, "So what can I do for you?" So I told him, "Well, actually, I came here to thank you for what you've already done." And he said, he was repeating himself again to his translator. His translator said to me, he says, "No, the mayor wants to know, what can he do for you?" So I was a little bit taken aback, and I didn't really expect it. So I turned to Achyuta, who was also translating some of our, and I looked at him and said, "Well, what can we?" So I said, all of us right now, I said, we're talking about our Food for Life program. And I said that our Food for Life program is very, very successful in Odessa. I didn't want to ask for anything more for a temple because they already gave us land. I didn't want to ask them to build it for us too. So I asked him for building for food for life, being more closer to the center. So then the mayor spoke to the translator, and then the translator said that you put everything that you want in the form of a written proposal and you bring it to me. And he says, I promise you, I'll take care of you. So following day we discussed about it, and the devotees had even living. They've been living very, very, very difficult for some reason. Odessa for many years, actually practically since the inception, the devotees have had no temple. And they've been living separated throughout the city in these tiny little flats. And sometimes they've been able to get some place to stay, but they always get kicked out for some reason or another. So we asked for a big building for food for life, so that the devotees can live in it too. And I found out just when I was in Moscow that the mayor gave it. So I'm waiting to hear what kind of a building it is, but evidently the devotees put in a proposal for him, and the mayor donated just some big building for us to have food for life. And he knows that the devotees are going to move in and also going to live there. So some things are going on. You know, sometimes there are a lot of this year in Mayapur also, it was very, very impressive that in Ukraine, we were just simply getting so many good contacts in the government. And it's becoming a very, very topical thing in Ukraine now that there are many scholars who are actually trying to dig up evidence to establish that Ukraine, the whole civilization of Ukraine, has been built on Vedic culture. And it's becoming a very, very popular thing now. Therefore they're looking to us, many of the scholars and people, they're actually looking to us for evidences of what is Vedic culture. So they sent this year, they sent to Mayapur, they sent about 9 television journalists. Four of them were national journalists that were in Mayapur for 5 days, and they filmed a 45-minute documentary of Vedic culture, Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada's push for Samadhi, and they went to so many different places in the Mayapur project, and they went to other places nearby, different places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and filmed that as well. And they put on a 45-minute documentary, all at the expense of the Ukrainian government, on national television. there was also on local television, we had one cameraman. He's a professional journalist. He's been working with us for about a year now, free, donating all his time. He produced several documentaries that were also aired on television. And I had a film of it, some of them very, very impressive documentaries. But it disappeared while I was in India. I couldn't find it. But he was also in Mayapur, and he also did a documentary that was also shown in television in Kyiv, and was sent to other cities in which this to be aired. This was a far more in-depth documentary, because he went out on Parikram on Navadvip on the Parikram. He went out every day and he stayed with the whole Parikram and filmed it from all day long, from beginning to end. It was a very, very in-depth documentary about Krishna conscious life and Vedic culture. That's something else I can think of. I'm sure there are other things I can think of that are real positive as far as assets for our preaching. It's always best to ask questions. If you want to pull things out of me, I can.
Are there many external challenges?
Yeah, they're still there. They're still there. But by Krishna's grace, we seem to be really becoming recognized. Where that, just like at these seminars, we have a relationship with one Orthodox priest. He's Russian Orthodox. He's very influential. He's actually in charge of the whole missionaries department of the Orthodox Church. And he's become very, very impressed by our movement. And several years ago, the Orthodox Church had put out terrible propaganda about us, an official documentation of the Orthodox Church about different types of cults. And this particular Orthodox priest, he's been coming, he's been taking part, he comes to the temple, takes part in different functions, and he actually wants to get, in the new publication, he wants to get all that bad propaganda taken out completely. And he's also writing a book about other religions and cultures in Russia, and he wants us to write the whole section in the book about Krishna consciousness, and he wants to put it in the book practically, you know, unedited. Basically, he's giving us of course he'll have to do some things, I'm sure, so he doesn't lose his position in the Orthodox Church. But he was there at the seminars. He actually gave two seminars in Moscow. And because of this contact, we're getting a lot of... Because it's the Russian Orthodox Church which has been really, really hurting us.